And next, demonstrating that one can generate this mind if one familiarizes with it. In the same way that fear used to arise in us even upon hearing our enemy's name, but later on, having come to an agreement, we became friends and generated great dislike even if he was absent. Likewise, by subsequently familiarizing the mind, we can become familiar with seeing oneself like someone else and others like oneself. In the same text, it says, do not turn away from something because it is difficult. Through the power of familiarizing like this, we are do not like when someone is not with us or who we used to fear when hearing his name. So, when we reflect on constantly as to how the self is really lacking, the way the mode of existence which is lacking, the way it appears to ordinary consciousness, then through that we come to a point whereby we would have a doubt that the self do not in actuality the self do not exist that way. So likewise, in terms of this practice of exchanging self for others, so originally or at the outset, when you think of such kind of intention, you may think that, it is something beyond my scope to practice such as exchanging oneself for others. So, to say my personal experience, so although I cannot claim to have achieved a bodhicitta or the wisdom of emptiness, but still, when one really reflects on emptiness, it has a kind of moving experience. And also, when I think about the bodhicitta again, I really feels a great kind of appreciation towards such attitude. So, because of my reflection and emptiness, although they don't have direct kind of impact on overcoming the grosser levels of delusions, but I could see a kind of slight, at least a kind of slight impact or effect in overcoming these delusions. Likewise, in terms of the meditation of bodhicitta, so although I cannot claim to have actually achieved that, but through habituation to this kind of practice of bodhicitta, so we can really see how powerfully it is beneficial in one's life to make one's life more at ease and peaceful. So as rightly said by Shantideva, that this bodhicitta having such a powerful kind of impact and effect on one's soothing experience that it gives to you. So how is it that a wise can really relinquish such practice? So it is based on these ideas that the Shantideva is saying, if one really familiarizes yourself in this practice of bodhicitta, although we seem to be so complicated and so advanced a stage that we could hardly feel the hope to achieve that, but through gradual practice, one will definitely arrive at a point whereby you can really start appreciating this attitude and then being desirous of actually having one in yourself. Next, removing obstacles and the actual way to meditate. To say, exchanging oneself and others, making oneself into the other and making others into oneself does not mean to train in the mind that thinks the other person is me and his eyes and so forth are my eyes and so forth. So what exactly is being meant here is that you are going to make the very strong conviction that so henceforth I'm not going to cherish myself more than cherishing others.
Mm.
So the 200 bodhicittas mentioned here are the actual bodhicitta and the wisdom of emptiness. So it says that even if it takes eons and eons to really generate or successfully generate these two kinds of bodhicittas, the actual bodhicitta and the wisdom of emptiness is worth spending time, that amount. So, if one really generates these two, then naturally you're thinking about the refuge and the preciousness of human birth and the reflection of impermanence. All these things will naturally come about through habituating or meditating on the bodhicitta. So, when you're training yourself in the practice of Lamrim or the stages of meditation, so first of all, the thing is that we try to study or learn the various stages and then try to reflect on them and then try to see whether or not you can really gain some kind of experience of the lower stages first, and then on top of these, having experience of the lower stages, see if you can generate the experience in the next stage. And then the text says, rather it is to exchange the rank of the two, the mind that cherishes oneself and a mind that neglects others, and to generate the mind that cherishes others like we do ourselves and neglects ourselves like we do others. That is also why it was taught that one's own happiness and others' suffering should be exchanged. Through looking at self-cherishing as the enemy, we will stop considering our own happiness to be priority. Through looking at the qualities of cherishing others, we will stop neglecting the suffering of others, and it will become a priority to eliminate it. In short, we will act for the sake of removing the suffering of others without concern for our own happiness. So next, the measure of having achieved this amount of enlightenment. So it seems that out of the two techniques of cultivating bodhicitta, so the one that is equalizing the exchanging method, that is more powerful and more effective. And it is said in Shantideva's Bodhisattva Charan Avatara that simply partake in this secret instruction, that is this instruction of equalizing and exchanging method to generate bodhicitta. So it is because of this that this instruction is very much meant for, especially for the more intelligent bodhisattvas. Generally speaking, the lower faculty bodhisattvas, they tend to generate bodhicitta first and then generate the wisdom of emptiness. And whereas in the case of the intelligent bodhisattvas, they generate the wisdom of emptiness first and then the bodhicitta next. So, because in the case of the intelligent bodhisattvas, because of the generation of the wisdom of emptiness, so it helps so much and complement in generating the bodhicitta. So, in the case of the lower school bodhisattvas, so there, without having in possession the wisdom of emptiness, so through some kind of aspiration, through some kind of desire for Buddhahood, they simply generate bodhicitta, and not because of the wisdom complementing it. So, and in the case of someone who is a practitioner of Tantra, the kind of bodhicitta one should be still more powerful than what is described here in the sutra section. So, Next, explanation of how to assume the mind generation or the bodhicitta by means of ritual. So by following all these techniques, one generates a kind of experience of bodhicitta, a genuine bodhicitta, then it is advised to actually complement that kind of experience with holding the aspiration bodhicitta by means of ritual. This has three divisions: receiving that which has not yet been received, guarding that which has been received without degenerating it, the method for restoring it if it has been degenerated. So the person who is to assume the mode of generation by means of ritual should be someone who has a genuine experience of aspirational bodhicitta. And so as part of that ritual, so it has three sections: the preparatory ritual, the actual ritual, the concluding ritual. So the preparatory ritual, it consists of special going for refuge, accumulating the collection, training the mind. So initially, it should be advisable if one takes the bodhisattva, aspirational bodhisattva vow through by means of one's own guru, because that would be more stable and more rich and more kind of assuring. And in order to make your bodhicitta so developed to be stable and powerful, you should be constantly mindful of this bodhicitta three times a day and three times in the night. So training the course that assures the mind generation will not degenerate during this life. It has four factors: training and remembering the advantages so that the strength of one's delight in the mind generation increases. Second, training in generating it six times so that the actual mind generation increases. Third, training in not mentally abandoning any sentient being for whose welfare the mind has been generated. Fourth, training in accumulating the collections of merit and wisdom. Mind by ritual, you should strive to accumulate the collections through making daily offerings to the three jewels, etc., as a course for increasing the mind of enlightenment. Training in a course of not separating from the aspiring mind of bodhicitta in other lives. Training in abandoning the four black dharmas that cause it to degenerate, and training in adopting the four white dharmas that do not allow it to degenerate. First, training in abandoning the four black dharmas that cause it to degenerate, deceiving one's abbot, master, guru, or those worthy of offerings. B, causing others to regret the virtuous deeds they do not regret. C, saying something infamous about a person who has entered the great vehicle. So tomorrow we are going to undertake the ceremony of holding the aspirational bodhicitta. So make sure that you read the different precepts and the advices in relation to someone taking the aspirational bodhicitta vow. So since that there is, it is not available in English, so maybe we can do it in the evening discussion session. tomorrow is going to be holding the Buddhist ceremony, the ceremony of the aspiration of Bodhisattva. And day after tomorrow is going to be the actual holding of the Bodhisattva vows. And then on 19th, we're going to do the serenity and special insight. And on the 20th, the Avalokiteshvara initiation. And on the last day, there would be the kind of audience for the sponsors, for those. So, if time allows, on top of the Avalokiteshvara initiation, I would like to do the Tara initiation. So after all these things, then we finish, and then you can go to your own respective homeland.